The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
We need to discuss something.
Yeah.
We just got back from Ben Greenfield hanging out up in Spokane, Washington. And before we left, a couple things that we did. We got overwhelmed by the assessments. We had no idea that we were going to get this much feedback. So we are buried.
We opened the floodgates.
We did. So we were buried in assessments. We had no idea the response we get. We've been chipping away as much as possible. So if you're somebody who did it and you're like, I did it on the first day. Well, unfortunately, we didn't get them ordered that way. The way they come in and flooded, they were just been ripping them off and trying to get to as many people as possible. So we apologize for those of you that haven't heard back from us. We are personally trying to either reach out to you through via email, text message, or a phone call and get to as many people as we possibly can. And then the other thing was we did this little promo right before we left that if you have never got involved in any of our programs and you wanted to buy the bundle, the RGB bundle, which includes the MAPS Red, MAPS Anabolic, the MAPS Green, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Black, MAPS Aesthetic, which is 9 months of programming. So it basically takes you through 9 months of training, is if you were to purchase that and get the forum for half off. So when you buy that, a little thing pops up, gives you an option for half off on the forum. If you were to purchase all of that, first time ever we've done this, that we've been giving away MAPS White with that.
So you'll get MAPS anywhere for free.
Yes. And we were going to run that for the first 50. And what happened was we all took off on vacation. And during that time, we went well over the 50 mark. And so we feel bad about just cutting it off right now. So I think we're going to extend it all the way through the month. Just say fuck it.
Through the entire month of September.
Yeah.
So you get MAPS anywhere for free. All you got to do is enroll in the RGB bundle with the forum, which is already half off. So you get 9 months of exercise programming plus MAPS anywhere, which is showing you how to work out without equipment. Yeah. Excellent for
awesome
travel. Excellent to mix up your routine. In reality, you've got yourself more than 9 months. You got something 12 months worth of.
Well, yeah, and that's not including all the mods. Name all the mods that come with that. So if
sexy athlete mod,
yeah,
right. There's the
butt builder,
Builder mod.
Yeah.
What else?
Stick mobility is in there, and the map in MAPS Green. So MAPS Performance has stick mobility mod, and then MAPS Anywhere also has a suspension training mod. So that was thrown in there as well.
There you go. MindPumpMedia.com. It's the RGB bundle. And you get MAPS anywhere for free. Don't forget, you have to enroll in the forum as well. MindPumpMedia.com. Can I ask you guys your honest opinion?
Very punchy.
I don't want you guys to be nice to me. Just be straight up honest.
Can't we lie a little?
Are you wearing your Lulu shorts over there? What do you got going on over there? Are those your Nikes?
Wow. Oh, no. You can't see from there. So no,
I can't see.
So these are regular Under Armour shorts.
No, okay.
But underneath, I got on my
Under Armour.
I got the Lululemon freaking what are those called?
You sneaky.
Or sport boxers or whatever.
Yeah, can I tell you underwear? Can I tell you how much I don't like them?
Oh, you don't like them?
No, my leg's falling asleep. The shit, it ties everything off.
You know, it's because you got the compression ones.
How did you feel when you put them on? Did you feel okay?
I haven't worn them yet.
Really?
They remind me of a slip. You know, where you put your cup. You put your cup in.
I never wore a cup.
Oh, yeah, you don't know that.
I never wore a cup. I think I got the wrong ones, too.
Why?
You're
wearing them backwards. The pouch goes in the front.
They looked really... Yeah. Oh, my God, that's so funny. this happened to me on Thursday. So I'm teaching class, and I'm like maybe like an hour in or so, and I'm like, God, I just can't stop itching my crotch and grabbing my readjusting my underwear, and it's driving me crazy.
It's crabs.
And
oh man,
you know, when I drink
been
a lot
there.
I drink a lot of water when I'm teaching, and you know, so I constantly like I get these little 2 minute breaks. I can run in the bathroom a quick pee and come back, and I've already done this like 5 or 6 times, and every time I go in there I'm like totally readjusting and coming back, and so I don't want to be like readjusting my cock in class like all the time, right? So it's just embarrassing.
Manhandling yourself.
Well, and, I mean, you could get like, more people.
And I'm going like, what did I do? Like, why am I so itchy this morning? And, you know, is it this underwear that I put on? And I'm like, so I go in the bathroom about the fifth time, and I realize my underwear is on backwards. And I can't remember.
You actually put your underwear on backwards?
I put my underwear
on. So did you get a wedgie in the back and then the front was
just
all?
They call it a Melvin, I think.
There's a reason why you put them on the right opposite. Way. There's a reason.
Yeah. They designed them so that things sit where they're supposed to.
Well, next time if you have to grab your crotch a lot, what I do is make sure I make like Michael Jackson noises every time I do that so people think it's a thing.
Yeah, it's nothing creepy. Yeah, I'm like, I wouldn't be like, that's creepy at all.
No,
here's the opinion I was going to ask you. The beard... The bottom part.
Let it go.
That? You see it? Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
I felt cool with it as I was traveling through Oregon.
Mm. You fit right in.
Yeah. Can I tell you guys something right now? No. I want to live in Oregon.
Oh, God.
This is the first time you've traveled.
Can I just let our audience know something?
You've been to Portland a million times. Okay. You even told me.
Go in the winter.
Let me tell the audience something
it's
that I've
raining
learned,
forever.
Learned about Sal.
Oh,
since
wait
I've,
a minute,
I've
it
met
rains?
Him here.
Yeah.
He is and he admitted this when we first all met that he's kind of a what do you call that? A hypochondriac where you think
what?
Every time you get sick, you're like, I have cancer, right? You know, he's like right. super.
How are you going to connect that?
I'm going to show you. You're the extreme about everything. I've learned when you get something new, you've learned something new. You get
next
so
week he's a bull rider,
so passionate and excited about it. Like you ride it to death, and then it fizzles out, and then you're on to the next thing that you're passionate about, and you ride to death, and you fizzle out. Even to like your road trip, like you were so excited about this road trip, and it makes sense because you've never done one before. And I kept thinking, I was telling the boys as we were flying home on our 2-hour flight and you had to drive for 14 hours, I said, you know, he was so excited to do this road trip to get up to where I was, but you know, he explained that this was his first road trip. I said, well, someone who's been on a lot of road trips, you know, you realize after you've been on a few of them that it's so exciting and fun on the way out. Because it's a new adventure and you're with your buddies or your girl and it's just like, oh, what are we going to explore? And it's this, and then after day seven or 10, yeah, exactly. You're singing that together. Then you go like, dude, I just want to be
Oregon.
Home. I just want to sleep in my bed. I can't wait. And then you think to yourself, fuck, I got 14 hours of road ahead of me.
It's not even raining at all.
So I'm not talking about the driving part. I'm talking about the actual destinations that I was in. I went to Bend and I went to Portland.
And you experienced something new.
Let me tell you about Oregon, okay? Oregon is full
It's owned by Nike.
It's full of mountain hippies.
Yeah.
I love mountain hippies.
Mountain hippies.
That's the name I came up with.
So you just go to Santa Cruz, man. We got plenty of those.
No, those are beach hippies. It's different.
No, no, no.
Yeah, and they're just lazy.
No, no.
It's a big difference between those hippies
and the ones in Oregon. Educate you. There's a split between the mountain people and then the beach people. I don't like the beach people.
There's mountain hippies there too.
They're not my people. Uh-uh.
Yeah, so a lot of really friendly people. And then, you know, they got the legal weed over there, which is kind of interesting going into those stores. So I don't remember much after that, but anyway,
right?
Yeah,
it's a great state. I love Portland, and Bend is a pretty awesome place.
It's all great and gravy right now because it was new for you, and you traveled probably on the best week of the year you could have traveled up there.
Because of the weather,
between 70 and 85 degrees and sunshine, it was fucking gorgeous.
It's because all the girls had nose rings.
All the
isn't it?
A lot of them had nose rings.
Yeah,
they did.
That's like your thing.
No.
I love it.
Piercings.
Yeah, piercings.
It's you
now
know,
I'm gonna get pictures of like know, crazy fucking piercings.
Living in California, I think Doug mentioned it on the trip. You know, we live in an area in the Bay Area that we see, you know, 300 days out of the year we have sunshine. That's crazy.
It is. It's nice.
They're like the opposite.
But,
you might get 60 days of fucking sunshine.
But let's be honest now. We live in San Jose, right? San Jose is it's probably the largest city in the Bay Area. The heart of Silicon Valley. San Jose is ugly.
It is.
The city of San Jose is just, like, I'm just look around. It's like brown hills. It's just ugly. It's just not a good looking
city.
But you can make a lot of money here, obviously, because that's why everything's so fucking
and
expensive.
And then I feel like, you know, 15 minutes away, you have Saratoga. 30 minutes away, you have Santa Cruz. 45 minutes away, you actually have the beach. You
yeah,
know,
but you're,
you could
you're
go
saying
anywhere.
Priorities.
That's without traffic. You're talking about the, you know, how you can, and also try to buy a freaking place in those places you just named.
Well, there's a reason for that. You know that? Because it's fucking better, bro.
Yeah, it is
it's fucking, yeah. It typically works that way. The better shit is, the more expensive it is.
True. It's true.
The cheaper it is. Which should be a quite, like,
I'm not moving to Oregon. Everybody calm like, down. Right away, I'm just saying it's a nice place.
Sounds like, dude, this place is only $200,000. This would be $1.5 million. And right away, you get excited like I'm gonna buy it. And I think my skeptical ass goes like, well, I wonder why it's so cheap.
Yeah.
Why does nobody want to live? Why does nobody want to live?
That's when we were in Spokane.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to live in Spokane. Yeah. Definitely not.
Spokompton, that's what they call it.
Why were they calling it
it
that?
It took us a while to figure. Number, what'd you
like
say?
Like three.
Top three in crime.
Apparently, they have a high crime rate.
I didn't see any of it, man. It looked nice from where we were. Obviously.
No, yeah, I don't know.
We're also 3.5 big dudes that are walking around Spokane. Wait,
I just got that.
3.5.
I just got that.
And a baby.
And a three men and a baby.
Yeah, 3 men and a baby.
He's a baby.
Oh, my God. That needs to, yeah, no, I'm making a meme.
Put him in a diaper.
Nobody's probably fucking with us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't think that's... I mean, we got Doug walking around in his terrorist outfit, you know? with his fucking getup, right?
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Doug got this like front pack or something that he can carry all
got,
of his
like, dynamite
like
there,
all of his recording information all of his recording devices and gear
all the batteries
and
the receivers
like wires everything. And shit sticking out of him. I mean, he looks like a robot walking around with
well
this
it
thing.
Looks like he's carrying a bomb, like a vest, you know. It's a vest that goes on him and it carries all this stuff.
He's in like the next Die Hard movie.
I told him I think it's mandatory going forward that he wears his producer shirt while he does it, otherwise it does look very skeptical.
I agree,
but if he's got the big white producer, some people will be like,
it'll ease
okay.
people a little bit.
I think we're okay if Doug wears that shit. Now if I wear that shit,
I don't want to give terrorists an idea though. Yeah.
That was
all of a sudden terrorists are wearing producer shirts. Like,
yeah.
Son of a bitch, we gave him that idea.
Weren't you guys commenting that you found that that there were a lot of attractive women in Washington?
Okay, that I was surprised.
I'm surprised that you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That we were in a very nice hotel. I think we were put up in the nicest hotel in Spokane. Do you remember the name of it? What was the name of it, Douglas? Do you remember?
Davenport
Tower.
Yeah, Tower.
God, I'm so proud of you. Remember all the names.
I liked it. It was a great hotel, wonderful service, great people, very
awesome food. Holy shit.
The decor, not that it was bad, it's just
weird.
Oh, here
you go again.
It was weird, man. It's safari decor. We're in Spokane, and there's like a stuffed cheetah.
Yeah, but it was like,
and like a big buffalo head.
That's why it was cool.
It was classy though. It wasn't like, you know, some weird cheesy thing.
No, it was
like some carnival.
They were real. They looked real as fuck. It was nice. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just because you're not into it. So
he's
obviously
not into it.
I think if you have been on a safari, maybe it would be cooler actually.
If I've been on a safari.
Yeah, if you had been on a safari, maybe you'd appreciate it more.
I don't know. You know what it felt like to me? It felt like I was at the Rainforest Cafe in Disneyland or whatever. You know what I mean?
No, it's done way more nicer than that. Come on.
Like
that. Yeah, we had like beautiful tile.
Yeah, no, the stonework.
Ostrich leather seats, fucking tiger print in the elevator. Like
it felt more like a high-end strip club to me.
Thank you.
I felt like that. Very high-end.
Very high-end.
Very high-end.
See?
Felt like home.
He's out classy.
That's why all the hot chicks were there. I mean, two and two together.
And apparently it's like it was like the hot place to be because around what is that, happy hour, it would get packed.
Yeah, so if you're from near the area or you travel through there, Davin Towers is
Davenport.
Davenport Towers. Davenport Towers. Yes. Sorry. Davenport Towers. That is the place
to stop at.
And it's got it's cracking, man. Great food too. Let me tell you, the ribs, the ribeye was amazing. The burger they had. What else did you guys have that was really good there?
I had good. The salmon was really good.
You had
salmon,
Guinness, and I'm proud of you.
And I drank a Guinness. I finally found an alcoholic beverage.
I almost
wanted
to give you a hug.
What?
Almost?
Fuck. Yeah. Damn it. I like Guinness. That's the only on tap. It's the only
once again,
beer
you're on this nitrous infused kick right now because you've experienced it. It feels
actually
frothy on your mouth.
Actually,
it's, like,
it's not frothy. It's smooth and creamy. Speaking of which, Oregon has, or at least the places I went to, has cold brew nitro coffee on tap.
Yeah, that's
the
cool.
Starbucks.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, that's delicious.
I'm looking forward to it.
So good.
Can we look that up and find out which ones? We're the Bay Area. We have to have some of that.
Yeah, because I asked the guy in Campbell and he said that they were like installing it.
Doug, can we get on that?
They just haven't.
Can we get is very important.
Let's find that. Let's make a map.
Stop doing producer
shit. I feel like this is important, and I'm going to put this out on it because we brought up, we talked to Frankie Chimera. And
I don't know if that's his last name, but Frankie from Chimera.
No, I like calling him Frankie.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Yeah.
He's one of the CEOs or whatever.
So, and we were going back and forth sending nude pictures to each other. And I told him, I said, hey, you know what we should do? We should do this, the nitrous infused Chimera coffee. And
it's in our new location,
in our new spot. And I think it would be pretty cool to be the first ones to do that over here. And I think the setup probably be, I don't know, maybe a couple grand for it.
Yeah. I mean, what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell Frankie that it'll be great for the business because we'll promote it. But in reality, we just want to drink them.
Yeah.
We just want to drink
that
cold brew
on top of the hot coffee.
Yeah. Nitro. Yeah. Chimera coffee. That's what I want.
If we do it every day, I think we've talked about the pot because we were getting into a storefront. We had no intentions of doing this, but we were, in fact, today, you know, we can all celebrate. So virtual high five, everybody. Today we today we break ground. So
it's a celebration, bitches.
That's right. The Mind Pump Academy.
It's a celebration.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call it that until we give it an official name.
What? The what?
Mind Pump Academy.
Why?
I don't know. Oh. It just sounds like it should be that.
I thought it was Mind Pump Media.
Headquarters.
No, okay, that's what our umbrella company is. I want to name our facility something else. For now, we're going to call it that until Doug names it something official.
Okay.
So the Mind Pump Academy is being built.
Why don't we call it Wheelhouse?
Wheelhouse?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you always say that.
This is in my wheelhouse?
Yeah. So you'd be like, this is my wheelhouse.
That's so dumb.
A Mind Pump Wheelhouse.
I love how he picks up on all my lexicon here.
Yeah. There's only four words.
We'll definitely have a library.
You fucking dick. I mean,
we're going to have a whole row of library.
It's a library.
It's pretty easy to
I'll put get the out books of away. Lexicon.
Take the R out of the middle. It's a library.
God, dude. Can't wait to kick you in the nuts.
Not again. So what were you saying about Mind Pump Academy?
I was just celebrating with our audience right now, virtual high five to you all, that we have broken ground on the new location. It's a storefront place. We didn't realize that. We were taking over a CrossFit facility. Pretty stoked about that. There is a God.
Yeah.
Well, where we're sharing is they're next door, though. They're still there.
Well, we're not really sharing.
But you know, anymore. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, it used to be
a building.
Yeah.
They're great people. We love them.
Yeah.
We love them, but we're infiltrating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much taking over.
We're going to take over all of CrossFit.
But we mentioned how it would be cool if we do this nitrous-infused coffee that we have a small window for people to come by and get some.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I don't know when we'll do that.
I don't know when, but that would be fun.
But the construction is what? We estimate the first round, so this is obviously will happen in waves, the demolition and the building of Doug's fucking crazy over the top studio.
Yes.
Of course Doug has the coolest part of the entire place.
You're in there trying not to jerk off in there, Doug.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I know it's gonna be
exciting.
I'll
do my best.
We'll see who does that first in there.
Yeah, yeah. Doug's. I'm
shotgun.
Sal.
I'm pretty excited for Doug's studio that we're building right now. It's gonna be pretty neat. It's gonna be about three times the size of the location we're in now. It's gonna have a green screen in there. I think he's going to have like
are we going to change the furniture?
Maybe.
This could be lounge.
I want a big lion chair.
I think.
Oh, now you're into safari theme.
Now I want. That's different though.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that once we get in and situated, that this will eventually move its way out. I mean, shit, this is only a year old furniture. It's brand new. I hate to just not use it.
But we'll use it for something.
But I do feel like I'm in a place now where I want my custom mic and I want a custom chair.
Custom mic?
I want it rhinestoned out with
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want something that looks nothing like yours.
Yeah.
I want to make my mic individual. So when we come into a studio, people will go like,
you make yours first and I'll make mine after.
Okay.
I want mine with spikes.
I think everybody should have custom mics.
Mine's going to be bigger.
Teeth.
And a custom chair. I don't want you sitting in my chair and I don't want you talking in my mic.
I'm yelling at something yelling at me.
Just wait till you leave the room and see what happens.
Well, when we got down to Ben Greenfield this last week and Doug was pulling the microphones out, it was obvious which one was yours because it smelled like shit and I did not want to be talking into it. So I think if we...
Just imagining
hold on, dude.
I talk a lot.
Hold on, bro. You're the one that breathes like that, not me.
Well, notice I breathe like that, but my mic still smells fantastic.
I feel like you're getting a lot of stuff that deep down in the throat that's coming out. Just spraying it all over.
Oh, God damn it. Here it comes. Holy shit.
Chimera
Quad! Today's
Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Our first question is from basically Lucas, who is under the impression that we think carbs are bad because of our recent episode on diabetes. And it's thinking that we have said that you should not eat things like brown rice and quinoa, but you could stick to vegetables and fruits.
I'm glad somebody brought this up because like anything that we ever do, it seems like we put out something or we say something and then everybody gets pretty extreme about it. I eat carbohydrates still. I had carbohydrates this morning, the day before that. And they weren't all from vegetables and fruits. Now, am I striving from a majority of them to come from vegetables and fruits a majority of the time? Absolutely. But, you know, quinoa, rice, sweet potatoes and yams. And I mean, there's lots of carbohydrates out there that have lots of health benefits behind them, and I don't think that we're telling people they should stay away from, but I think there, in general, there's a huge problem with carbohydrates. I don't think that, I mean, maybe Sal's probably the only one out of all of us that avoids carbs at all costs, but you can tell too, he has a miserable life in comparison to Justin and I, so
there's give and take, you know.
At least I don't think. I mean, Sal, since you're probably the most extreme on this, how do you feel? I mean, about...
Well, carbs aren't bad. It's the overconsumption of carbs that's bad.
Right.
The over-consuming carbohydrates, especially the wrong kind of carbohydrates.
Which is very easy to do.
I was just going to say, in what determines whether or not you're over-consuming carbs, it's quite individual. Carbohydrates, really, if you want to think of carbohydrates, they should kind of, you know, mirror your health and your activity level. And most people aren't active. So most people shouldn't eat that many carbohydrates. And they're very easy to overeat. They stimulate appetite. They're found in everything. And most packaged, processed foods, especially foods that have long shelf life, are very high in carbohydrates. Even, you know, bars that you'll buy, like, oh, this is a good protein bar. And you look on there, it's going to have some sugar or sugar alcohols at least, or carbohydrates. So they're not bad for you at all. You just want to eat the right amount and be wary of over consuming carbohydrates. Now, I will, just to be clear, we've been told or taught that carbohydrates should be the most important macronutrient. Yeah. In other words, most of your plate should be carbohydrates.
Which I think that was the main message we were trying to get across, right?
Wouldn't
you agree?
Well, that's why we got so fired up about it, because it completely flips it upside down. So I think as far as the priorities are concerned, that should be low man in the totem pole. So
thank you.
You know, as far, like, it's not that it's the demon that, like, you can't ever experience it. You can't ever have any flexibility in your life as far as, like, introducing carbs back in your diet and all that. It's just a matter of, like, can you go without them? Can you live in a way where you strive to, like, eat with healthier patterns and then, you know, realize what it is? Like, you can't just deny the fact that there's a healthier way to eat. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be like super, like, stringent and strict that, like, all the way forward with it.
Well, if you look at your macronutrients, your proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, it makes sense that you would put more focus on the essential ones. In other words, the ones that your body needs in order to survive, because it can't produce certain amino acids. There's essential amino acids, and they're essential because your body can't make them. If you don't get enough of these essential amino acids, you die. And there's essential fatty acids that your body can't make. In other words, if you don't get these essential fatty acids, you will get sick and possibly die. But carbohydrates are not essential. And so carbohydrates should not be your priority when seeking out macronutrients for food. It's really the overconsumption that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And also consider that, you know, you could be perfectly or seem perfectly healthy by, you know, Western medicine medicine standards, where you get your blood tests and they find that everything comes out okay and you're not overweight and you look okay in the mirror and all that kind of stuff, but not realize that you're desensitizing yourself to carbohydrates because you eat so many of them all the time. And over the years, over the decades, that can turn into insulin resistance, which we're finding to be root cause of a lot of different types of diseases.
Well, it's like how good is your process of assimilating like these nutrients? You know, is there a way that you can improve that? And so like by, you know, taking some of the carbohydrates out of the diet for a while, and if you're able to assimilate them better, you know, that's like, you know, like taking protein out for a little bit. It's like this whole undulating effect. You know, it's not like carbs are super demon. It's just like, are you using them efficiently?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why you're finding now a lot of the forward thinking health and longevity experts and athletes who are now starting to play with carbohydrates a little bit more. It used to be kind of a fringe thing. You know, bodybuilders did it because they got lean doing it. And but really, if you manipulate your carbs and eliminate sugar, eat them from whole natural sources, make fats and proteins your priorities, you're going to be okay. Do you need to avoid carbohydrates? No. Ketogenic diet's pretty extreme. I don't think that's the healthiest diet either. I think for certain conditions, it can be great. So it's not like we're giving one specific, you know, way to eat and say that's the way to do it. But when it comes to carbohydrates, it's the overconsumption. So it's easy to.
What did someone recently messaged you about pseudoscience and they got really frustrated with our episode that recently aired? What it was?
They were because we had done that episode and we had talked about how insulin resistance is, you know, usually caused by the overconsumption of carbohydrates. He said, well, there's science showing that consuming too many fats can do that, or too many proteins. And yes, this is all true. The body can become insulin resistant through a variety of different ways. However, the majority of the time it's because of carbohydrates. I mean, carbohydrates spike insulin more than protein does, and definitely more than fats do. And that constant spiking of insulin, that constant exposure to high levels of insulin is the easiest way to get your body to stop listening to insulin, like anything.
And that argument to me is so dead, because it's like, okay, yes, that's true. And there is science that supports that. But okay, and this comes back to, you know, how we always talk from experience and the thousands of clients that we've trained. I'll take two clients, okay, and try it. You can test this yourself. Try and eat 3,000 to 5,000 calories of fat and protein, and then try and eat 3,000 to 5,000 calories of carbohydrates, and tell me which one's easier for you to do.
Just look at the market options. Just look at like going to the grocery store. What are your options?
It is so hard to eat that much fat and carbohydrates. Yeah, it's amazing. It's tough. Your body, you'll be full. You won't. Carbs though, oh man, easily you can creep up. You know how easy it is to eat a bag of Skittles or a bag of chips
or drink a
60-ounce, you know, soda right now. I mean,
and it's not very satiating. Carbohydrates are not very satiating.
That's what I'm saying. And if anything, it spikes the insulin, blood sugar, and just causing you to be hungry for more. Where the opposite happens when you eat something that's very high in fat or in protein.
I mean, look, bottom line, you look at the obesity epidemic, and when it really started taking off was exactly when the government guidelines changed and told Americans to avoid fat and to eat more grains and carbohydrates. It's perfectly matched up. Now, Americans also became less active during that same period of time. However, it doesn't add up. If you add up the activity, the inactivity, and you try to do the math, it doesn't add up at all. And then the explosion of diabetes and you know, all these other, you know, related chronic diseases that are related to diet really exploded after Americans reduced their fat intake and increased their carbohydrate and sugar intake. Sugar intake exploded over that period of time. Mm. And people don't realize, like, food makers, especially processed food makers, their goal, number one, is to make a food that's palatable. Mm-hmm. It's not to make a healthy food. In fact, even your health food companies, if I'm a health food company and I'm coming out with a snack that's good for you, number one, where I'm spending most of my money on research and development is to make it taste good.
Taste and look and market. Like,
so we'll start with something
that's addictive.
Right. We'll start with something that tastes good, and then I'll try and make it healthy. It's never the other way around. And when you reduce fat, when you cut fat out of processed foods because people are under the impression that fat's bad for you, they got to replace it with something else that makes it taste good.
Because fat tastes good.
And that's sugar.
Yeah.
And they'll replace things with sugar. So low fat almost always means higher in sugar.
Well, and then now what do they do? Because we've got all this science with zero calorie type sweeteners. Everything's sweetened up with artificial stuff. So even your healthy bars and shakes that are all processed are loaded full of this stuff, so they taste better. That don't show a ton of calories.
Right, and I want people to realize, like, your taste preferences will change. So at first, if you're used to eating this diet that's high in processed foods and sugar, and you know you artificially sweet everything, you know, sweeten everything, and then you go and you start to remove that, at first your food will taste, it won't taste as good. It might be more bland. You're gonna be like, this sucks, I can't eat like this all the time.
More to like your gut bacteria, like craving that type of a...
So many different things. I mean, gut flora changes, that'll change your you know, how you crave foods. The receptors that receive the information from the food that you eat start to change. I mean, if I eat lots of sugar all the time, fruit is not nearly as sweet as if I avoid sugar all the time and then I eat a piece of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with the way the brain receives the information and perceives it. But as you change your diet, you'll find that your preferences for foods will start to change. I mean, look, I was just on the road for about 11 days, okay? And so I ate most of my meals out. Now, I always try to make healthier options. However, eating out is never going to be as good as when you prepare your own food. I found myself craving home food. Like, I started craving, like, I need more vegetables. I need more of the things that make me, you know, that are good for me. And that's because I've gotten to the point now where my body craves those things and I enjoy the taste of them.
Yeah.
And so if you give yourself some time and you do it the right way, and you do it in a way that you're going for health rather than weight loss or you know, other physical goals, you'll find after time that you'll start, your preferences will start to change. It'll be easier to eat healthy, not harder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sir Brian Clegane is asking, are there ways to modify exercises if you have a limb that is has slightly less range of motion than its counterpart?
Is that the whole question? I don't read any of this. Was there more to it? Like,
I think there's more.
He put an example in there about his knee. One of them could fully extend while the other didn't really have the same capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking as far as like, you know, unilateral training and stuff like that and the importance of that.
Yeah.
I thought we could, you know, we might be able to go into that in further detail.
It seems obvious, but I don't want to skim over this because I catch people doing this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a strength discrepancy or a range of motion discrepancy in one or the other, the idea is to get the one that is weaker or limited in range of motion caught up to the other one and not to continue to progress the opposite one. So what I mean by that is, like, so I've seen this before where someone's like, oh, my right shoulder really bothers me. So they're like shoulder pressing with their left shoulder and not doing anything with their right shoulder, or they're pressing 50 pounds with their left and then they go to their right and they're only doing 25 or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is not ideal. You want to try and catch them up. So, you know, I'm always going to start with my weaker, less dominant, less range of motion side, like Justin's saying, training unilaterally. So starting with that side that is limited and trying to progress it, and then I'm going to mirror whatever I can do with that side, with the other side, so I give it time to kind of catch up and even out.
Well, I think it depends what the reasoning behind
the limited range of motion.
Yeah, because if he can't extend his knee all the way because there's something in the joint. Because I've had clients like that. I've had quite a few with elbow issues.
Yeah, do we know? Extend. Can we read
it? I was paraphrasing. So.
Well,
because that does matter. Like, Sal's right. If it's something that he mechanically will never be able to work on versus he's just got limited because he's tight or neurological disconnect.
Yeah,
going
if
on.
It's a muscle issue or a function issue and it has nothing to do with the actual limitations of the joint, then what Adam was saying exactly, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to bring it up to so that it matches its counterpart. Otherwise, you're going to have horrible imbalances.
He's lost a few degrees of his natural hyperextension from a surgery. So my lockouts on leg lifts is a little goofy. My left leg fully extends like normally, and then my right leg stops extending slightly sooner. So I almost get a bit of a twist going on. I just want to sure I'm okay. So
he's going to give himself problems if he doesn't do the following two things. Number one, lots of unilateral exercise. So I would do lots of, you know, leg movements that are one leg at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a barbell movement, because you're limited by the joint, in other words, it ain't going to go straighter. There's no muscle, nothing you can do with your muscle to get that knee to straighten out. Then you want to match the bent knee. You don't want to try and match the straight knee. So what I mean by that is when you come up from your squat all the way, come up to the point where that knee is as straight as it's going to be, and then match it with the other leg. If you do barbell movements, if you don't, like he said in there where he finds that he's twisting and stuff, he's going to develop worse and worse imbalances over time that are going to cause more and more problems. But the key to that, if there's that big of a difference, is unilateral. Just do your one-legged step-ups, your toe touches, like do all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
This reminds me a little bit about, I just had a session recently with Dr. Brink and one of my clients. I brought him, she just had full knee reconstruction and, you know, she could not squat beyond 90 degrees. And, you know, when he first was assessing her and she was explaining this to him, he was telling her that, you know, you have a brand new knee in there. That knee should be better than even your other one that you have right now. It should be able to go through floor injury. Now, you've lost connection there and mm-hmm. 'cause you've had an injury and then you were in surgery and then you were limited. You limited that range of motion. So we've lost this neurological connection to take you through that full range of motion naturally yourself, but it's still there. Like, and he gave her he laid her down. So this is a good question or a good test for yourself. Can you take your leg through full extension without by passively doing it? So taking your other hand and moving yourself into full extension, is that ability there? Like, do you have that ability to move? It's just not.
Yeah, that would demonstrate that the joint can actually go through full range of motion. Right. And it's just that you can't do it yourself.
The limiting factor is that you have no connectivity to that.
Right.
So that's a big thing you need to find out, because if the joint is still got full range of motion, you just don't have the muscular connectivity to take it through full range of motion. There's a different focus here, and that's where, you know, really working on this mobility factor on that side.
Well, and this too, like, I mean, this whole question for me, it highlights kind of an issue with people and working out and like the focus of it and the efficiency and the, like, what you're really trying to accomplish. Because if it's just that I'm trying to get through a workout and I'm always trying to just stay in quote unquote shape, these types of things like come up and people just, well, you know, I guess I'll just kind of squat around it or I'll do something around it and I'll just keep working on this. And I'm really reinforcing these bad patterns over and over again and it's never getting addressed. And so if I don't take the time to unilaterally train and build it back up and get proper extension out of that knee, you know, to match the other knee, you know, you're not going to experience going forward. The progress going forward is never going to be what it could be. And a lot of people have a hard time with that because, yeah, you might lose some gains then on your other leg if you're really focused on building and developing that other leg to, you know, meet and match that. So now I have a balanced deadlift or a balanced squat, you know, and they're both contributing, you know, at the level that they should.
Well, at the end of the day, if it truly is his joint that's limited, and so there's nothing he can do to fix it, or what I mean is there's nothing you can do to full extend his knee because it's the joint, then you're already having an imbalance. So you need to understand and accept that there's an imbalance already present.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't train properly, that is going to be a big problem for you later on. If you train properly,
we're talking injury,
right? If you train properly, focus on the unilateral stuff, focus on the balance exercises, it'll remain to be a minor imbalance because that imbalance is always going to be there. You're going to walk, you're going to be doing all kinds of stuff with one knee.
Preference as far as your movement patterns.
Yeah, but if you train properly, it should remain a small imbalance. If you don't, that small imbalance will over time turn into one that can affect all kinds of
just problems. Out of curiosity, what would make you think there's even anything wrong with the joint? If it's, you know, he says my right knee has lost a few degrees of its natural hyperextension from a surgery. So my lockout on my, so what kind of surgery would he have done that would limit his joint that you can think of?
I don't know.
Because if you had any sort of orthoscopic type of MCL, ACL, PCL type of surgery.
Was it just the time period of inactivity?
That's what I, that, yeah.
That's,
no, that's
a good
the loss
question.
Of
that's,
neural I mean, connectivity.
That's a great question.
Reading, that's why I went the direction I went when I read it, because I don't feel like he, I mean, if you said you broke your fucking patella, right? You know, or you shattered your tibia or something is your femur or something has happened to your bone.
A major mechanical piece was you know, broken.
Exactly. If something like that has happened that is no longer will ever allow him to move that joint through full range, but then I could understand where you're kind of coming from. But to me, this is very common. What happens to people when they have knee surgery is they hit something, they put a cadaver in there, or they just completely cut off the MCL or whatever that. And because of that, during that time that they were injured down in surgery, which sometimes is months, they have limited their range of motion due to the injury, mm-hmm. and they stop sending this connection that allows them to take that muscle through full range of motion. And really, it's just a connectivity thing that they need to reestablish and get there. And it's less of like your joint doesn't move through that full range of motion. So mm-hmm. I think this is an important assessment.
And that's actually far more common yeah, than the joint actually being.
Yes. That's why I wanted you. I was curious to where you were going with that like maybe you read into that differently than I did. Cause I don't see, unless he's got more information, which this always helps, by the way, when you guys tell us full information on why, you don't, have that, what surgery it was that you had, because mm-hmm. that could tell us a lot that, okay, well, obviously he's limited because he doesn't have that anymore to do that. But if it was just like a basic tear and orthoscopic surgery that's happened in the knee, I mean, more often than not with me, 99% of the time with my clients, it's just they've lost that connectivity and they've got to reestablish that.
Glenn SBT is wanting to know how you guys make the most of your time during rest periods.
Oh, you mean like rest periods between sets?
Between sets, yes.
This is a good question.
It is a good question.
Because people don't consider rest periods to be part of the workout.
Right.
They get
antsy-pantsy.
Yeah, yeah. Of all the factors that go into programming your routine, rest periods is one of them. It's one of the more important ones. It's a piece. It's a cog in the machine, and you need to treat your rest periods like you treat your work sets, mm-hmm. in the sense that it's part of your programming. So if you're resting for 1.5 minutes, that's what you're doing. If you're resting for 2 minutes, that's what you're doing. If it's a 30-second rest, that's what you're doing. If your condition, you're training for conditioning, mm-hmm. then there may be things that you're doing in your quote unquote rest periods that help with conditioning. But other than that, it's like it's not a waste of time. Just sitting there and resting is part of your workout. Yeah. And it's a very important part of your workout.
Yeah, please.
So
let's hammer this.
Yeah, I mean, because you see people like, oh, I don't like to rest. I like to in between squats, I'll do sit-ups or
jumping jacks.
I'll grab the rubber band and I'll start doing rows in between my rows with the barbell.
Yeah, and all they're doing in reality, I mean, okay, let's back up. You want to build strength. Let's just focus on that for a second. You're lifting weights. You want to build strength. You want to rest to allow your body to rebuild its store of ATP mm-hmm. so that you can lift heavy again. ATP is a type of muscle energy that is used for explosive movements. And resting in between sets allows you to replenish ATP so that when you go lift again, you're training anaerobically. You're training the muscles with that type of energy. Very important, because if I don't rest in between.
You're now aerobic.
Now I'm aerobic. If I go from one exercise to another, I'm no longer training that anaerobic.
You're doing cardio with weights.
That's it.
May as well get on the Stairmaster.
Yeah, your body doesn't give a shit.
Do the ballerina
moves.
It
feels like it's not as hard. It's a different adaptation you're seeking.
Right.
So you have to trust in that fact alone and do the protocol and sit on your ass and then lift hard when you need to lift hard.
This is dear to me because I feel like I deal with a lot of people. I have a lot of people around me that love circuit classes and love that way of training, and then to take that personality out of that and teach them how to program design correctly is like fucking nails on the chalkboard for some of them. It's so hard for me to get this through their head that, listen, when we tell you 90 seconds of rest period, look at it this way. Your fitness journey of getting healthy and fit and in shape, whether it be build a bunch of muscle, burn a bunch of fat, no matter what it is, it's a fucking journey, and it's a long journey. And during this journey, there's going to be hills. There's going to be some downhill parts. There's going to be some walking flat ground. There's going to be some parts you got to fucking run up a hill. All these different, all throughout the whole journey. So guess what? When you hit a part of your program that tells you to rest for 90 seconds, fucking enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy that shit while it lasts. Because there will be times for different focuses and different adaptations where we will ask you to shorter rest periods or superset exercises, or like in MAPS Green where we go through a durability phase where you're just high intensity. There is a place for that, but there is not a place for that all the fucking time, not for maximum results. And the other thing is, if those 90 second rest periods really seem that easy, or that they're just so long for you to get your next second, your working sets are pretty weak sauce. Because mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, man, after I do a heavy set of squatting or deadlifting, those 90 seconds couldn't be any faster. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, you just feel fried.
I want 2 minutes or yeah. I want 3 minutes in between because you put everything into that set. So,
well, and the quicker you jump into it, if you're cutting your rest by like 20 seconds sometimes, right? And I'm jumping back in this heavy set. Think about those last two reps you could have got if you just would have sat on your ass and gone with the protocol.
Right. And think about it this way. Like, again, you know, when you're using resistance and you're training with barbells, dumbbells, and weights, and you're trying to build muscle and strength, which is what weights do. It's what they do best. So, yes, you can condition with weights and you can do cardio with weights. But what they do best is they build muscle and strength. So that should be the majority of the stuff you do with weights. When you're resting because it's a skill. And I cannot perform my skill properly if I'm fatigued. So you don't want fatigue to get in the way of doing that perfect set, that really good tense, you know, what I mean by tense is that tension set mm-hmm. where I'm getting in my squat and I'm grinding through and I did 8 reps on this set and the next one, I might be able to do 8 reps again because I rested properly versus going after the constant, you know, need for that type of fatigue, that type mm-hmm. of endurance type of fatigue, which is okay. If you're training for that particular type of fatigue, if you're training for that type of adaptation, but if you're like most people, you're lifting weights because and doing cardio because you want to get lean and you want to build muscle and you want to amplify your metabolism, then use weights what they're used best for, which is to build muscle. And the best way to do that is to rest between 30 seconds to 90 seconds, typically, mm-hmm. between sets, depending on what type of adaptation you're training for.
Yeah, there's a purpose for all of it. I feel like this question becomes more popular through people that have like really just started one of our programs, and maybe that's where they decided to step in, which I also get this like with somebody who decided to buy Black first. Like this has happened a lot, where someone buys MAPS Black first, and they love it. And I'm like, well, here's the thing you got to be careful of. Part of the reason why you love it is because it's closer to how you train.
Right.
And you relate to it and you enjoy it because it's high intensity. It's lots of volume. In reality, probably going through MAPS Red or Green, which is a different adaptation, is probably going to benefit your body more. And I think that's the most important note to this. Like, is there magic at 90 seconds versus 30 seconds versus 3 minutes? No, there's not magic. Probably what's going to benefit you the most is the opposite of what you've been doing, right? So, and putting more emphasis on that. So if I've been training super low rest periods, or if I was somebody who just came out of one of those type of classes or programs that is, you know, no rest, circuit, well, probably the most beneficial thing would be going to the opposite extreme, long rest periods where I'm lifting very heavy, I'm letting my body fully recover, and I do that. Now, if you're somebody who's a power lifter who's been resting for 3 minutes in between sets, and that's all you've been doing is lifting super heavy with long rest periods in between.
Now we superset.
Exactly. Yeah. The probably the most benefits you're going to see is the opposite extremes because your body is so adapted to that. So I think that for someone who's not following one of our programs, the biggest takeaway from this is learning that, you know, those rest periods, there is a time and place for those. Rest should be rest. You're not supposed to be trying to be actively doing something in between it, or you're kind of defeating the whole purpose of what's called a rest period.
Diary of a Fit Guy. If you could change one thing about corporate gyms, what would it be?
Allow chalk. That really gets on my nerves, man. That you can't use chalk. I know why.
And letting the weights. Hit
I was
going to
say
platform.
that's a hard thing to say.
I know. It's because it makes a mess. You know, it makes a mess or whatever. So that's my personal one. Don't make too much noise with the weights. Yeah. It's kind of silly.
Cut down on all the cardio equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
Cut that in half.
You know what? I mean, you gotta understand that these corporate gyms, they just follow the market.
Yeah.
And the market is starting to shift because I'm seeing gyms put more cages and have rubber plates mm-hmm. and have platforms. I never saw that ever anywhere before. I'm talking any gym I ever went to before. None of them had rubber plates and platforms.
Yeah.
One, and that was a weightlifting room in the back of a Gold's Gym that I went to years ago.
Yeah.
But the market's starting to change a little bit. The rows and rows and rows of cardio, I think like Justin said, like, all right, that's enough
that
now.
Just, it's irritating.
Nobody needs that many.
Waste of space.
Nobody needs that much
cardio. Well, you know, it's hard to say something to like a general question like that because I feel like they're not all the same. You know, there's a lot of... There's a big difference between 24-hour fitness and Gold's Gym, and they both would be considered corporate gyms. If you were to, or a, you know, what's the purple franchise one we talk shit about?
Planet Fitness.
You know, there's another one that's a corporate gym. They're all, and I have something I would change about each and every one of those, but different, you know, because they're different corporate gyms. So a general.
Yeah, you got to be specific which one. So
yeah,
blanket
statement of, you know, what was one thing that I would change about it. You know, what I always wanted to do was like some sort of like profit sharing or like ownership of the club. I think that just like we've talked about this a little bit, and I don't want to get political, but you know how voting for our president when you have, you know, you contribute nothing to our country, you know, whether it be paying for taxes or work or what kind of person you are in society. I feel the same way about gym memberships. Like, you know, your membership should like be dictated. Do you take care of your shit? Do you clean up your weights? Are you somebody who does this? And then based off of that, there's like some sort of like sliding scale. Or we talked about an all green gym one time where, you know, all the equipment and machines,
like a farm.
Well, it would have like how much you move the weight and stuff like that. You would reproduce energy back into the gym, gym. So if you're on a treadmill and you were running on a treadmill, like you
think they have one of those in Oregon. So.
You're generating energy, right? Every time you press weights, you're generating energy that goes back into the gym, and based off how much energy you put back into the gym, would discount your membership. I think
sounds like a good idea. It'd never work.
No,
say never. There's a possibility that's,
you know,
in the future.
I mean,
Justin and I might build that.
We'll build it.
Here's the thing. Like the average corporate gym is in this type of model. High volume, low dollar. So they want to charge a low amount and they want to get a lot of people to join. But there's one more piece of this puzzle.
They don't actually want you to be in there all the time.
That's right. Because if everybody showed up and used the gym 4 or 5 days a week, they wouldn't have enough space.
Yeah.
They literally would not have enough space. And a gym like 24 Hour Fitness or even Planet Fitness, you know, these places charging $15 a month. And you think to yourself, like, God, how can they maintain this 30-something thousand square foot facility when everybody's paying $15 a month? It's because they have a shit ton of members.
Yeah.
And then you go in the gym, and honest to God, those gyms are busy only for 3-4 hours of the day, maybe. The rest of the time, it's dead. I mean, I managed gyms for years, and there's almost nobody in there most of the time. There's prime time. And then aside from prime time, the gym is dead. Where are all the people that are paying money for this gym?
Cheetos.
Yeah, not using it. And so that's the model that they build themselves around. And so what they have in the gyms is not designed for the people who really work out. It's really designed to sell memberships. Mm. Okay, so think of it that way. So if I'm building a gym for people who work out, it's going to look very different than if I build a gym to just get people to come in and take a tour and buy a membership. What am I going to put in that gym if I just want to sell memberships and don't really care about people working out? Lots of cardio. Mm-hmm. Just like we said, people walk into a gym, never used equipment before, but cardio looks pretty easy. And, oh, I move my arms and legs on that machine. I don't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
Put a shit ton of cardio. What else sells lots of gym memberships? Not cages and free weights. Machines, because machines look easy. And when I'm giving
machine
you
circuits,
yeah. And when I'm giving you a tour of the gym, I can show you every machine has a picture on it showing.
There
you
is what I would change. Okay, that's a good. Okay, that would be cool. And of course, it's hard because you just like you said, it's
they'd have to change their whole model.
We would be changing their model, and it wouldn't appeal to the masses.
I feel like they already have sort of been changing that. That's why this is a hard question, because even a 24-hour fitness or like a Bally's, I don't even know of any Bally's that exist anymore, but like a lot of those, like LA Fitness and all these, they've had to change based off of trends. And so you start seeing, you know, them clearing space out and making more weight accessible places. They've added more trainers in. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, they sort of have to evolve based off of the market. However, you know, a lot of times it's a gimmick, or it's like they're highlighting one thing.
Well, 24 Fitness
to sell you on it.
Just did it recently. Like I showed you guys, I think I told you guys, neither one of you I think have been at, you know, our old gym, Santa Teresa and Cottle, has actually got, they like just threw this little grassy field in the middle of it, you know,
right.
Because they know that, you know, and it's got a bunch of tires and ropes and it's
really
got, yeah. Oh,
you know
yeah.
What's driving that, right?
Huh?
Do you know what caused all that?
Well, CrossFit did, dude.
Yep. CrossFit, the market pressures from CrossFit and CrossFit type gyms and social
100%.
Media has now made people want to see that in their gym.
Yeah.
And so it's starting to happen in these big corporate facilities.
I would love to see you where I was starting to go with what you were talking about with all the gyms and cardio and stuff. I would love to see a gym with like hardly any of that, like no equipment, no like machines, hardly, maybe a free motion machine, maybe two or three of them in the entire gym. And then just like ungodly amounts of dumbbells and barbells
and just rows of
50,000 square feet of like squat racks.
All the walls are squat racks.
Yes.
Yeah. All and then everything in the middle is all like dumbbells. Yeah, and
dumbbell
barbells.
Racks and barbells and like that'd kettlebells and just like that type of stuff to where there's literally you everything you're and then it's just like grassy field and like rubber padding and stuff where you can be doing floor work.
You know what's so funny is I bet you I wonder how well that would do.
Serious people would go there for sure.
Yeah, but you might just sell a lot of memberships too, though. I wonder how well that would do. Like if we opened a gym like that, that had that kind of look to it. Have you guys ever seen a picture of an old gymnasium, like the first gyms?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen them? That's what they look like. They were like big open space.
Hanging ropes, and then they had like ladders and stuff.
Yeah, ladders, rings, ropes, and then they had like barbells and dumbbells and kettlebells and stuff just like on the floor.
All in stations.
Yeah. All in stations. Yeah, that's what old. I wonder if that would do well now. That'd be interesting.
That would be cool. Old timey gym.
After looking at, Dr. Brink was sending us text messages this weekend of pictures of the Onnit Academy. I didn't know it was that big. I had no idea it was 50,000 square feet.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say, if we were to build a gym, like this is what it would look like. That is probably, granted, we'd probably change some like maybe kickboxing type stuff that they had in there for like Sal's arm wrestling machine or like some things.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Of course, we'd have some different shit like that. But for the most part, I mean,
virtual reality fitness room for me.
Yeah, yeah. But for the most part, they have definitely designed.
And porn.
Probably really close to what we envision as the Mind Pump Fantasy Factory, right? Like, I really think that's probably the closest thing to it. So the Onnit Academy, that's the one, and that's in Texas, right? That's the Texas.
Austin.
Joe
DeFranco.
Joe DeFranco. The Joe DeFranco Onnit Academy is pretty legit.
Yeah.
In Texas, so that's probably give you an idea of what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I think the future of gyms is not big corporate gyms anyway. The futures are these small boxes that are more.
Well,
more specific. That's going to keep going in that direction, you know.
We know from managing gyms for many years too. People don't realize this, but the big 50 to 100,000 square footers aren't the big money makers. Your sweet spot for gyms was 8 to 15,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where the your best dollar per square foot.
You squeeze much more out of that.
So, well, it's the big boxes were there to sell memberships for all the gyms, right? You want to have your big, got everything gym, but yeah, those smaller ones. When you looked at the profitability. On a store by store basis, it was those smaller ones that did much better. So,
yep.
Listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review and we choose your review, you will win a free Mind Pump T-shirt. We'll send it right to you. You can also find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. Adam is at Mind Pump Adam. And also, don't forget to visit mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.